fall in love too easily. I fall in love too fast. I fall in love too terribly hard for love to ever last.
Bang.
I fall in love too easily. I fall in love too
Hello, hello, hello. Coming to you live from Haverford College, apartment 50, first floor, room number 3. This is Jose Rodriguez. Yes, Jose Rods, J Rods. And today we're going to be talking about sex. Oh, yeah. So, what does sex and love look like in the animal kingdom? Why not go to the sources and find out? Let's see what they gotta say. I get it. All right. So any guesses, any takers? Anyone want to take a guess? Yes, no, yes. Okay, I'll go ahead. The first one was a camel. Yeah, a camel. The second one was a penguin. I know, penguin. And the third one was obviously a koala. I mean, obviously. Now, you may be asking yourself, why did I just casually put on some sexy time sounds for all you animals out there? Easy. Because they matter. Why, you ask? Well, as humans living our day-to-day, quote-unquote, normal human lives, we have billions and trillions of animals living theirs all around us, yet we've blinded and deprived ourselves of this knowledge, while increasingly destroying and depriving animals of their lives and habitats as well. All because humans are, unsurprisingly to most parents of teenagers and young adults, really crazy selfish and borderline egocentric. Sorry if I offended you, don't take it personal, I too am pretty guilty of this. For years and years, animals have undergone a multitude of studies regarding sex and sex behavior, with the goal to try to understand our own sexual behavior, since most of these studies have been deemed too unethical to be done on humans. After inserting myself with the knowledge of the all-powerful search engine Google, these are reliable sources, I swear, and YouTube, I am here today to talk to you about the abundance of specialized sex behavior between species across the entire animal kingdom, demonstrating that, in my opinion, animals have feelings too. Now, if you don't believe me, then take it from the experience and good words of Dr. Jane Goodall, who said, "I learned from my dog long before I went to Gombe National Park that we weren't the only beings with personalities. The chimps, all they did was persuade the others. To me, cruelty is the worst of human sins. Once we accept that a living creature has feelings and suffers pain, then by knowingly and deliberately inflicting suffering on that creature, we are guilty, whether it be human or animal." Now, Pythagoreans long ago believed that animals experience the same range of emotions as humans, and current research provides compelling evidence that at least some animals likely feel a full range of emotions, including those of fear, joy, happiness, shame, embarrassment, resentment, jealousy, rage, anger, love, pleasure, compassion, respect, relief, disgust, sadness, despair, and grief. Yeah, life is very vivid to these animals. In many cases, they know who they are. They know who their friends are and who their rivals are. They have ambitions for higher status. They compete. Their lives follow the arc of a career, like ours do. We both try to stay alive, get food and shelter, and raise them young for the next generation. Animals are no different from us in that regard. And I think that their presence here on Earth is tremendously enriching. The issue over consciousness, like any aspects of human-animal behavior, It is confused by the lack of definitions people agree on. The question really is, do other species have mental experiences, or do they sense things without having any sensation of what they are experiencing? Like a motion sensor senses motion, but it probably doesn't experience that it senses motion. Animals, in fact, do. They react to movement, fight or flight or curiosity. And it is incredible that there is still a debate over whether animals are conscious, and even a debate over whether human beings can know animals are conscious. If you simply watch mammals or even birds, you will see how they respond to the world. They play, they act frightened when there's danger, they relax when things are good. It seems logical for us to think that animals might not be having a conscious mental experience of play, sleep, fear, or love. Just like humans make all the preparations necessary to enchant that lovely lady friend with mountains of chocolate and a bouquet of flowers and fine red wine and outrageously humongous teddy bears on Valentine's Day, animals too prepare, sometimes even their whole lives, for that special moment of finding their perfect mate and getting frisky and risky with them. Now, I just have to emphasize risky because if you screw up, you may or may not get eaten and die. Which, depending on your lady friend, may or may not be translatable back to humans, so watch out guys, cause it's usually the females doing the eating. I mean, come on, how else is a gal to get rid of that pesky guy who keeps coming back while she just also happens to be hungry? I mean, this is quite true for the female black widow and certain other species of spiders, but I for one am all for this. If chocolate came walking to my door, and I'd be quite compelled to eat it, and I don't even have to be hungry. Now, let's elaborate on three interesting behaviors in the animal kingdom, starting with spiders and making our way to giraffes. They're a lot kinkier than you think. And finally, ending with one of my personal favorites, a true gent of the animal kingdom, the penguin. Black widow females are about twice as large as males, so the smaller suitors have to take some precautions when approaching a female's web, lest they be mistaken for prey and eaten before mating even gets underway. Males stay safe by announcing their presence to the female with vigorous rump shaking, aka twerking. As a male steps onto a female's web, he vibrates his abdomen, sending signals cursing along the silk strands. He advances, vibrates and pauses, advances, vibrates and pauses. It's a pattern distinctly different from the shorter, more regular movements of trapped prey, which researchers found in a study published in the journal Frontiers in Zoology. The study authors also discovered that the vibrations that males produce are at a low amplitude, further distinguishing them from prey movements, which were more dynamic and percussive. Go figure. I mean, I'd be very scared if I was stuck in a black widow's nest. Well, another species of spiders, the jumping spiders, or the Cosmothaces umbratica, have body parts that reflect ultraviolet light, which help male jumping spiders in the species catch the female's eyes. Yes, all eight of them. The males lure the female spiders by striking poses that display these glowing patches prominently. However, females have a glowing trick of their own, possessing palps, a pair of appendages near the head that fluoresce green in ultraviolet light, which they use to attract the males. Both male and female spiders rely on these signals to tell who's in a mating mood, which scientists discovered in a 2007 study published in the journal Science. The researchers also found that when ultraviolet light was blocked and the spiders didn't glow, they lost interest in mating. Next, we have one of the most unexpectedly kinky animals in the animal kingdom. Yes, the giraffe. These long-necked animals spend most of their time quietly munching on leaves. At least, it sounds quiet to us because most of their vocal communication occurs outside the range of the human hearing. But what they lack in their ability to shout, they more than make up for when it comes to assessing the suitability of a potential mate. The bull, which is what you call male giraffe, visits various herds looking for that female, called a cow. When he finds a cow he likes, he doesn't coyly ask her for her number. There are no flowers, no chocolates, no movie dates. He gets right to the point by leaning over and gently nuzzing her rear end. The goal? Well, to catch a sip of her urine. Yes, a sip of her urine. Now, when the bull nuzzles her rump, she must produce a stream of urine if he is to catch some in his mouth and savor it. The idea is that he can do so to detect various chemical indicators in her urine, indicating whether she's prepared to mate. He knows none of this, of course. He's just doing what evolution has guided him towards doing, wandering around, lapping up some urine, looking for a date. And finally, we have one of my personal favorites, the gents of the animal kingdom, penguins. For these guys, breeding usually takes place during the Antarctic summer, which is October through February. Males arrive at the colony first and choose their spot to wait for prospective mates. For nest-building penguins such as the Adélie penguins, males will go back to their previous nest and make it as presentable as possible by building it up with stones, sticks, and other objects they find. It's very cute. When the females arrive, sometimes a few weeks later, they go right back to their mates from the previous year. A female will check out the quality of her old flame's nest by inspecting it, getting in it, and lying down. Checking out, everything's all nice and comfy. She will do the same for her neighboring nest, though this can sometimes lead to some drama. If the male's previous partner arrives, she will kick the new female out of the nest. So it's a little bit like watching a soap opera. For these species that don't build nests, and even some that do, song quality is very important. Research suggests that females can tell how fat a male is, and thus how long he will be able to babysit the eggs without needing to run off in search for food, based on his song. Now, once a female chooses her mate, the pair will go through an important courtship ritual, in which the penguins politely bow, preen, and call to each other lovingly. The ritual helps the birds to get to know one another and learn their respective calls so they can always find each other. Aww. With the courtship complete, the pair then mates. The female will lie down on the ground and the male will climb up on her back, walk backward until he gets to her tail. The female would then lift her tail, allowing the penguin's cloaca, which is the reproductive and waste orifice, to align and the sperm to finally be transferred. And after the female lays one or two eggs, the male will take the first incubation shift. What a gent. In the species that don't build nests, the adults incubate by balancing the eggs on their feet. Incubation duties are shared between the parents in all species except one. In emperor penguins, the male takes care of his egg for 2 months straight, relying on the warmth of his fellow penguin papas to survive the cold as his fat reserves dwindle. So when we look at the animal kingdom and the immensely diverse forms of mating that exist, it's impossible to think that these behaviors are soulless and bland of emotion. Clearly, these animals are quite motivated to try to get some. I believe that the animal kingdom has an abundance of lessons to teach us as well. For instance, the outrageous misconception that men are above women seems to lose its argument when seeing the vast amount of female-dominated, decisive sex behavior in mating. We have a lot to learn from animals, so it's time we can consider equity not only within humans, but with animals as well. Thank you for listening to my podcast.